What do these three statements have in common? The proof of the pudding is in the eating, talk is cheap, and actions speak louder than words. We're going to talk about that as we wrap up our four-part series on four of life's most courageous, important questions. Stay tuned.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back. I can hardly believe this is the 162nd episode of the Life's Key 3 podcast. If you are new around here, welcome. This podcast focuses on helping people to become spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. And also not just as individuals, but for those who are parenting or working with kids or youth in any capacity, to help them to also prioritize these things and to learn how to become these things, not just for the particular season of life that they are in, but for all of life. Over the last few weeks, we have been talking about four of life's most courageous, important questions. This is a talk that I also give specifically to high schoolers, middle schoolers, because it is equipping them with a set of power tools. These aren't just like cute little tools. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's nice. That sounds good. No. These are four of the most powerful tools that a person can use, and they can use them throughout their entire life. As a speaker, I also have other messages that I give for middle school and high school students, but my dominant messages are for two categories. One is for parents, parenting conferences, and the other is for women in faith-based organizations. You can learn all about my speaking on the website stephaniepresents.com. And while you are there, hey, make sure to sign up for the weekly newsletter, High Impact. It is chock full of helpful resources for you. Sometimes those are include articles. They include links to podcasts. And they're not just my own things. They're also acquainting you and equipping you with the books and podcasts and articles and organizations of other people. You know, the needs that we all have as individuals and as parents are so great that there's no one person or organization that's going to be able to speak to all of those. So I want to help bring you trusted resources that can equip you to deal with whatever it is that you have in your life as an individual or a parent. And lastly, if you haven't already, hey, leave a rating and review. It takes like 30 seconds to do that. And it's not only an encouragement to me, but it helps other people to know kind of what the podcast is about and that it is worth listening to. All right, so today is the final question in our series that we've been talking about, these four courageous, important questions for life. So what are they? Well, let's review. What do I want? Why do I want it? Why don't I have it? And today, the final question is, and what am I willing to do to get it? What am I willing to do to get what I say I want? Oh, if only saying it was enough to make it happen. And while I often think that would be a really good plan, there are plenty of other times that I think, you know, I'm really glad life doesn't work that way, because I certainly have the capacity to say some things and then later go back and think, probably shouldn't have said that. You know, early in the podcast today, I had three statements and I said, what's consistent about all of these? You know, The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Talk is cheap and actions speak louder than words. What all of these have in common is they give us insight into this question and how we answer it. Because you see, there is a very big difference in what I say I want and what I'm willing to do to get it. And not only is this something that we need to look at in our own lives, it's also a way that we evaluate in our relationships with other people. What do we do when we encounter a person who says that they want one thing, and yet it just seems kind of fuzzy when it comes to their actions that don't really seem to line up with their claims? How do we respond to that? Do we just make a snap judgment and say, well, they're just not sincere? Do we ignore it? Do we give them more time? And it's not a matter that there is one size fits all for every situation, for every relationship, for every person. But the benefit of these four questions is that it does give us a way to evaluate so that we can come up with some good answers. So if a person's words say one thing, and their actions say another, there are three questions that you can ask yourself. And this is true whether it's about someone else or because we are people of growth and personal ownership and responsibility, we also ask ourselves these questions. Do they have or do I have the knowledge or skills? The second question is, do they or I have the ability? And number three, do they or I have the opportunity? And if the answer to one or more of these questions is no, then it becomes a matter of doing some investigating. So let's say, for example, there is someone that is in your sphere that continues to say, I really want a different job. Okay, and then time goes by and they're not getting a different job. And you're kind of like, okay, what's going on here? Well, you can ask yourself, do they have the knowledge or skills to get a different job? Do they have the ability to get a different job? Do they have the opportunity to get a different job? And maybe it's a matter that the answer to one of those is no. I mean, maybe right now the financial constraints that they have just means they truly do not have the opportunity. Maybe they cannot leave a job for a particular period of time because they have some health insurance issues for them or for a dependent. Maybe they don't know how to apply for, how to build a resume for, how to get the certification or the skills that they need in order to step into that type of job that they would want. Well, then it starts another set of questions. It says, okay, well, can they acquire the knowledge or skills that they need? And if so, what are they doing to make this happen? Do they even have the capacity to develop the ability? You know, capacity and ability are not the same thing. And sometimes we confuse those two and we make them synonymous, but it's really not the case. I do not have the ability to bench press 400 pounds. And you know what? I am never going to have the capacity to have that ability. So there's no point me setting a goal that someday I'm going to bench press 400 pounds because it doesn't matter how much I work out. There are some physical limitations and I am not going to be able to bench press 400 pounds. My capacity does have some limitations. We are not infinite people. We cannot do anything that we set our minds to, the famous saying notwithstanding, because it does take more than just mindset. It takes knowledge, skills, capacity, ability, and it also does take opportunity. So again, for us or for someone else, when we're evaluating and there seems to be this disconnect between the words and the actions, well, rather than just making a snap judgment about it, we can also say, okay, do they or I have the opportunity to get what we want? Or are they or us, are we working to make those opportunities likely? So again, going back to if somebody is talking about how much they want to have a different job. Okay, maybe they don't have the exact opportunity right now because they need to acquire some more knowledge or skills or certification, or maybe it's going to require moving to a different part of their town or state or even country. Well, what are they doing to make those opportunities likely? Is it truly a matter of needing to wait for circumstances to change that are entirely outside of their control? Or is it a matter of saying, well, what are they doing that's within their control? And again, these questions aren't just looking at other people. These questions are also for us. But let's say that those questions are not answered with a no, then, and they're all answered with a yes. Do they or I have the knowledge or skills to get what we say we want? Do we have the capacity and ability? Do we have the opportunity? And if the answer to all three of those is yes, then the truth always is with actions, not claims. So that expression, actions speak louder than words, is true. That expression, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, is true. It's not in the making of the pudding. It's not in the fancy packaging. It's not in all the claims about how great it is. It's like, what happens when you take a bite? What does it actually taste like? And that statement, talk is cheap. Because yes, it's easy to talk about things, but it is our actions that demonstrate our true commitment. You know, there is like a Grand Canyon size difference between I want the process and I want the outcome. Yeah, you know, millions of people say, I want to get in shape. I mean, that's just one of those statements that we hear all the time, and especially at certain times of year, right? It's like, oh, in January, this is the year I'm going to get in shape. Sometimes we see that at the beginning of summer as well. Okay, I'm going to get in shape, you know, for the summer. So I'm going to be able to get outside and do things or go to the beach and not be embarrassed, you know, in my swimsuit or, you know, whatever. But how many people actually do that? Well, it's not an easy matter just to say, well, when people say I want to get in shape and they don't, that, well, they just don't care about their health. That's not necessarily the case. It's more a matter of meaning, I want the outcome of working out and eating well, but I don't want the process. You know, I like a clean house, but I don't particularly get excited about actually cleaning my house. I want the result, but I don't always want the work. And this is why we have to ask ourselves, what am I willing to do to get what I say I want? Now, I've used some examples here about house cleaning and even talking about getting a different job or getting in shape. And those things are important. But, you know, this is about much bigger things in life as well. Because this comes down to how we show up, not just in our jobs and not just in our fitness and not just in our housework. This shows up in how we treat other people, and it shows up in our relationships. These questions aren't just about tangible things. It's not just what do I want when it comes to stuff or possessions or even to jobs or achievements. It's what do I want in terms of my character? What do I want in terms of my relationships? What do I want in terms of my impact? And it is often in these aspects of life that aren't quite so tangible as some of the other parts of life that we can become self-deceived. You see, we can get so absorbed with thinking about what we want, and we can dwell on these intense desires, and we can think that that desire must represent true commitment. But here's the thing, it doesn't, not necessarily. You see, it is not a measurement of the intensity of our desire that shows what is true for us. No matter how loudly we proclaim it, no matter how long we go on and on about it, no matter how many books we read, conferences we attend, podcasts we listen to, or therapy sessions that we attend, desire alone is not an accurate measurement of what we really want. It's always desire plus action. That is what is going to tell us the truth. That's not just actions. It has to be both of those because, you know, people do things all the time because they have to, not because they want to. You know, sometimes we can do things to keep other people happy, but we are eroding our own happiness because internally we resent what we're doing for others, even though externally we don't let that show. People also do plenty of things and make plenty of actions because they are trying to manipulate. They are pretending that they are motivated by one desire when they really are being motivated by something else. But there's another reason that people can sometimes have desires and not take the actions that are needed. And that is because there are hidden self-limiting beliefs eroding our actions, either because we are sabotaging our success through counteractions, like a sort of counter-espionage, counter-sabotage, or because those self-limiting beliefs are keeping us from taking all of the actions that we need in order to get what we say we want. And that doesn't mean that there's no actions. It might just mean it's a matter that there's not enough actions. There's enough to be able to have some sort of evidence to support our claims, but not enough to make them, to carry them out from beginning to end. And so one of the great benefits of this question, what am I willing to do to get what I want, is that it unlocks the door to that room that houses our self-limiting beliefs. And opening the door and walking in is one of the most courageous things that we can do. And I don't think it's a matter that we have all these self-limiting beliefs and we want to walk in the door and we just want to flip on the light. Because what we would see would probably freak all of us out if we saw all of the self-limiting beliefs that we have all at once. I find that it's more a matter that we walk in and we carry a flashlight of truth. And we shine it around, and then we see one of these beliefs that is holding us back. And that's where we can drag it out into the light. And basically, we kind of have a come to Jesus moment with it. And another benefit of this question is that sometimes what we have is not a matter of a self-limiting beliefs, and we have right motives and right heart. But what we realize is, oh, the problem here, the gap between what I say I want and what I'm actually doing to get it is that I'm just limited because of time, or I'm limited because of energy or money. I mean, there is only so much time in a day, and most of us don't walk around with limitless energy or money. I realize there are a few people on the planet in that latter category. I am definitely not one of those. And sometimes we just realize, you know what, my goals don't align with things like, I don't know, reality. I mean, I'm trying to pack 247 hours of actions into 52 that I have available. And that's when we can say, you know what, I do have the willingness to do whatever it takes to get this. But right now, I simply do not have the time, money, or energy required. And this is not about making excuses. It's about being mature. It's about being reasonable. It's about living in the real world and saying there is only so much time, energy, and money. And right now, I'm going to need to reshuffle my priority list. And it's not that what I want is bad or wrong. It's just that it's going to have to wait. It's not ready for this particular day or week or maybe even season of life. And so that's not where I'm being dishonest with myself or anyone else. Maybe I'm just going to be unrealistic. And so asking this question, what am I willing to do to get what I want, can also help me to see, yeah, this is good, and I'm being honest about it, but I kind of have this little thing of reality I'm going to have to align myself with as well. Now, we want to model and teach these questions to our kids. You know, one time my three-year-old granddaughter had a dilemma, you know, one of those three-year-old problems. And she wanted something that seemed out of her ability to make happen. And so she just kept saying this thing to me over and over again. She wanted me to fix the situation for her. But instead, I asked, how do you think you could solve this problem? And it was one of those things where she kept having all of this question about another kid and how they might take this from her and they might do this and they might do that. And this wasn't a situation where she really needed adult intervention. This was where she was creating these scenarios in her mind, like these what if scenarios. And then she basically wanted me to come along and give her the answer for how I was going to go solve this what if scenario, if it even played out. But after a while, I just said to her, well, how do you think you could solve that if it happened? And she stood there for a minute and she pondered, and you could kind of see the little wheels clicking around in her brain. And then she brightened up and she found a solution. And it was a good solution. And you know, if I had done what she wanted, if I would have basically said, okay, here's what I will do. If you run into that, if that other kid does this, then I'm going to step in and I will solve that problem. I would have deprived her of the ability to learn how to solve problems. You know, when we ask our kids, what are you willing to do to get what you want? We provide the opportunity for them to learn how to be problem solvers. And sometimes they surprise not only themselves, but even us with their solutions. Now, I mean, obviously, we stay within parameters of reasonableness. You know, if my five-year-old grandson wants an ice cream bar, I'm not going to hand him the car keys to drive to the store to get one, even though he might be perfectly willing to try that out. But if he sees that I'm cleaning up sticks in the yard, he may volunteer to help so we get the job done faster, so I can then drive him to the store to get one. But when we never even ask our kids, so what are you willing to do to get what you want? Then we deprive from them that ability to develop problem-solving skills. Now, the goal of all these questions, the questions of what do I want? Why do I want it? Why don't I have it? And what am I willing to do to get it? Is never to produce shame, but compassion. You know, Romans 2:4 tells us that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. You know, God doesn't reveal what's hidden in us that's keeping us from becoming more like Christ, more like our true selves, to represent Christ, to model him, to be like him. He doesn't reveal to us what's hidden in order to increase our shame and condemnation. It is always to help us to grow. And sometimes that includes repentance. And sometimes asking ourselves these four questions does reveal an area of life that needs repentance. But sometimes these questions also reveal where we need a reprioritization. Sometimes they show, oh, self-limiting beliefs. I didn't know that that was still there. I never even saw that before. Going to have some work to do with that. Now, these questions are not a one-time life hack. They're not situational questions that we say for certain seasons or circumstances. These four questions are ongoing investigative tools that when they are used consistently, will build a life of awareness, intentionality, growth, And those things ultimately lead to faithfulness, because that is what we are called to. Is we are not called to perfection. We are called to faithfulness. And why? Because you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.